Page 49. Second man was young. Name of Pauly. He wasn't a big enough hand to be allowed to be a breeder in the quarters, and so he went to looking. He snucked away and met a girl at a plantation down the road a piece, and they sat in the moonlight with each other some nights. Pauly, he made it back before wake-up time every night but one, the last one. He fell asleep in his girl's arms, fell asleep in the moonlight. So they from the White House set out with the dogs, and Pauly, he didn't run or try to get away. He was on his way home, but they let the dogs to have him anyway, tear him up to bleed but not kill him. Then the master, he tied him down and cut him like he did the cattle, so he wouldn't run to girls no more. But the cut went wrong, and Pauly, he laid all night and bled to death without ever making a sound in the corner of the quarters. So don't nobody run. Besides, I don't think there's a place to run to. I heard talk once of some land north, but it's far away, and it was only talk. Not something to know. Just something to hear. Like birds singing, the talk of the land north, or the wind in the trees. But Alice cut and run that night. She didn't get far. Down to the river and then sideways some. Her back was still ripped and sore, and she must have moved slow. She might have kept moving all night, but hadn't gone more than to the other end of the cotton fields. An easy small walk. Then she pulled herself under some brambles, and was there when they found her. He let the dogs to have her. Didn't matter what she'd gone through, or that her thinking wasn't working right. The field hands with him told us he smiled, and his big white smile like the big white house, pale maggot white like his skin smile, and let the dogs to have her. She didn't fight them or try to get away, and they just tore at her. Tore at her until her whole front was torn and gone, and she was bleeding from the chest. She didn't die. Alice be too tough for her own self good. She didn't die, and he made the hands to carry her back and put her in the quarters. Mammy sewed up what she could with canvas thread and greased and patched, and she lived. She'd be like Pauly. She didn't make sounds even while Mammy was pulling at the torn flaps of skin and sewing them on her chest. Not a sound. Just stared and stared at the wall. That night John called to me as he came past where I was trying to sleep. "Tobacco girl, time for another letter." I'd been all day helping Mammy, and was tired and sad for Alice. How she be at the other end of the quarters? But I went just the same. I still had two letters coming for that first pinch of tobacco. He was sitting on his heels in the open doorway. I squatted next to him. "What's the next one?" He used a stick with a sharpened end on it and wiggled in the dirt two half circles. "B." "B," he said. "It be B." "That sounds crazy." "That's how you say the letter, B. It's for B, or B, or B, or boo. That's how a B looks, and how you make the sound." I made it sound in my mouth, whispering. "So where's the bottom to it?" "I swear, you always want to know the bottom to things. Here it is. It sits on itself this way, facing, so the two round places push to the front." Suddenly, he's gone. One second he's there, and the next he's slammed sideways and gone. "What in the hell are you doing to her?" Mammy was standing there, big and black and tall in the moonlight. "What you doing to this girl?" She had come from the side and fetched John such a blow on his head that it knocked him back into the wall and up on his back. He come up quick and didn't cower none. "Nothing. Not like you think. I'm teaching her to read." "That's what I mean," Mammy said. "What in the hell are you doing? Don't you know what they do to her if they find her trying to read?" "We already got one girl tore to pieces by the whip and the dogs. We don't need two." I'd been quiet all this time, watching. Didn't seem so bad what he was doing, teaching me a few letters to know. Maybe a word or two. So I said it. "Doesn't seem so bad." "Bad?" Then she hissed like a snake. "Child, they'll cut your thumbs off if you learn to read. They'll whip you until your back looks knitted, until it looks like his back." She pointed to John, big old finger. "Is that how you got whipped?" He shook his head. "I ran." "And got caught?" "Not the first time." She waited. I waited. "First time I ran, I got clean away. I went north, all the way. I was free." I'd never heard such a thing. We couldn't even talk about being free. And here was a man said he had been free by running north. I thought, how can that be? "You ran and got away?" Mammy asked. "I did." "You ran until you were clean away?" "I did." "And you came back?" "I did." "Why?" He sighed, and it sounded like his voice, like his laugh, low and way off thunder. It made me think he was going to promise something, the way thunder promises rain. "For this." "What you mean, this?" "To teach reading." It's never quiet in the quarters. During the day, the young ones run and scrabble and fight or cry, and there's always a gaggle of them. At night, everybody be sleeping, but not quiet. Alice, she's quiet, but they's some of them to cry. New workers, who are just old enough to be working in the fields, cry sometimes in their sleep. They hurt, and their hands bleed, and pain them from new blisters that break and break again. Old workers cry, because they're old and getting to the end and have old pain. Same pain, young and old. Same snore. Others just breathe loud. It's a long building, and dark except for the light coming in the door and the small windows, but it's never quiet. Not even at night. Now it seemed quiet. Mammy, she looked down at John. Didn't say nothing for a long time. Just looked. I had to think to hear the breathing, night sounds. Finally, Mammy talks. Her voice is soft. "You came back to teach reading?" John nodded. "That's half of it." "What's the other half?" "Writing." He smiled. "Course, I wasn't going to get caught. I had in mind moving around, teaching a little here, a little there, going to do Heidi schools. But I got slow, and they got fast, and some crackers caught me in the woods. They were hunting bear, but the dogs came on me instead, and I took to a tree, and they got me." Another long quiet. Way off, down by the river, I heard the sound of a night bird, singing for day. Soon the sun would come. "Why does it matter?" Mammy leaned against the wall. She had one hand on the logs, one on her cheek, tired. "Why do that to these young ones, to Sarnie here? If they learn to read, and write, it's just grief for them. Long time grief. They find what they don't have, can't have. It ain't good to know that. It eats at you then, to know it and not have it." "They have to be able to write," John said, voice pushing. He stood and reached out one hand with long fingers and touched Mammy on the forehead. It was almost like he'd be kissing her with his fingers, soft, touched like black cotton in the dark. "They have to read and write. We all have to read and write so we can write about this, what they're doing to us. It has to be written." Mammy, she turned and went back to her mat on the floor. moving quiet, not looking back. She settled next to the young ones, and John, he turned to me, and he say, "Next is C."